Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't women. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis in your ears, you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of 7th Night in Hallis. It's your boy Scott and Flo is in, man. This is the beginning of our four-part off-season series where we'll be dropping one podcast a week. It'll be a mix of, you know, kind of breaking down different things about the season we want to talk about and also just overall things that, you know, it's not like time sensitive. So, you know, we're going to be doing all of that stuff today, man. As you can see, got a new background. For those of you who watch, I'm not going to hold you. I told you that the background was under construction because a couple of y'all on Twitter said I need to, on Twitter, on TikTok, said I need to add some stuff. Some of y'all was mad that I was wearing a Dodger hat. Well, I got a Bears hat on, nigga, and I got a Bears background. Okay, we got all things that represent my sports fandom. You got Soldier Field. You got one of my favorite players, Kobe Bryant, on this side. You got my favorite football club, Arsenal, and I have another picture of my favorite basketball player, my favorite athlete, Michael Jordan, that I will be adding this weekend. But anyway, for y'all who don't know, so this is how the release schedule is going to go. On Mondays, the off-season pod will drop on Patreon. On Friday, the off-season pod will drop on all platforms for those of you who don't want to pay the fine. And that will keep going on like that all through the month of July. We're recording this early. It's June 26th. As we're recording this, we're knocking out two today, and we'll knock two more out, and that'll be all for July. And then we're going to give y'all, the season starts pretty much after that. But, folks, how you feeling? What's going on?
Oh, I'm chilling, man. It's good, good time to talk about the Bears as we're getting towards, you know, training camp, things like that, you know, and, yeah, I'm feeling good.
I feel like it's been a minute since we've done a pod. Like, it's been a long minute. But shout out to everybody who did watch the last couple pods we did. You and Steve did a great draft preview pod before the actual draft happened. So today we're going to be talking about, we're going to give you all some training camp information. But mainly today, our main topic is the relationship between Caleb Williams and new Bears head coach Ben Johnson. What can we expect? What are the expectations that we have going into this season? So let's start off with training camp. So training camp has been announced already. We put all the details up on the 7th and Hallis Twitter page that there will be 11. There will be 11 practices available to the fans, and those tickets will be on sale Wednesday, July 9th on the Bears website. Training camp is going to be going on from July 22nd to August 29th this year. Report day is on the 22nd. Me and my brother will be there. That's when Ben Johnson talks. That's when Ryan Poles talks. And that's when, you know, it's kind of like orientation day for the season. I wasn't there last year. I was in L.A. for something, but Joe held it down. We both were there the year before. We'll both be there this time. So I'm pretty sure we'll talk to Caleb, DJ, Rome, everybody we need to talk to. So we'll be having a lot of content for that. And, you know, from what I peeped about the schedule, I don't know if you looked at it or not, but what kind of stood out to me was that Ben Johnson is going to be starting practice a lot earlier than Matt Eberflus used to. Practices are going to be starting at 8:30 in the morning. So, you know, Matt Eberflus usually started his around 9:30, sometimes at 10 o'clock practices. But the good thing for us is that maybe we can beat traffic a little earlier if that's the
case. Yeah, right. But, right.
You know, that's a good thing right here. But I'm just really excited that it's out. And now that we kind of know what it's going to do, we're going to be having a whole bunch of different content. Of course, we're going to be having player interviews. We're going to be doing daily recap pods. Well, not pods, but daily recap videos that we're going to be doing. I know a lot of y'all really like the daily recaps I've been doing on TikTok. So I do two versions of those. I do like a nice one-minute version for TikTok, and then we got the longer version for the YouTube, the Twitter, and things like that. So, but what, and do you have any thoughts on the training camp schedule? Now we can just go on to the next topic.
I like the idea that they're starting earlier. You're just getting on the ground running, and I can't remember specifically when did it start last year, 10, 11? You may have said it already. I kind of zoned out.
Yeah, majority of the practices started at 9:30, but he had a couple 10 o'clock practices in there too.
You know, I'm glad. I mean, it helps. The media helps us cover it. It also helps with the players. I mean, you're getting in there earlier. You get your job done. You're getting out of it, especially during the summer, when at least for them, this sort of extra time is hard to come by. So I'm liking the schedule. Outside of that, man, I'm just ready to see it happen.
Yeah, and also, too, last year what we saw with the schedule, too, was how not with the offseason. They started their offseason training 2 weeks earlier than they usually do. So basically they got like an extra week of summer vacation. So they got 7 weeks instead of six. And so like when you start to see other teams who are doing this, the Bears are already in like, you know, Cabo or whatever the fuck they was going. So shout out to Ben. But I want to talk about the vibes from the offseason workouts. I went to damn near all of them. So with the offseason workouts, you know, it's OTAs, rookie mini camp, veteran mini camp. I will say from this, and like we've always said, we're going to keep saying on the show, we're not going to be doing, oh, who won the press conference and, oh, it's gelling so well. I'm just going to tell you what I felt there. This means nothing when it comes to the actual play on the field that we'll see in about 2 months' time from now. But I felt a vibe of adults were in the building. And what I mean by that, it felt like we went through the whole flu era. And I don't want to call them non-adults, but it really felt like, okay, you have experienced coaching here that know they have a game plan and they know what they try to implement. And I'm not just talking about Ben Johnson. I'm talking about the whole coaching staff. Yo, think about how many Eberflus practices or camps you've been to. How many times did you actually see the rest of the staff outside of like Richard Hightower, which makes sense because he's the only one who kept the job, that you were vocal on the field? Because I've seen Dennis Allen. I've seen Al Harris. I've seen, Antoine Randall-El, Declan Doyle, all the, like, I see them on the field actively doing something to the point that we got to try to find Ben because we don't know where Ben's at.
Right. I'd say in the Nagy and the Flusser, since I've seen both, I've seen a combination of a bit more presence when they're practicing. I can't point out a specific time where I didn't see them talking. However, there were times, at least through team activities, where I would hear defensive coaches talking, especially if they had a good rep against the offensive player. And offensive coaches would be a little bit more quiet. That being said, I don't place too much stock into what's happening. It's the same with the press conference. Press conference and practice, there are things I want to see. I do want to see some confidence. I do want to see some repetition. I want to see criticism from coaches. I want to say, that wasn't good. What are we doing? We need to get on it. But, and they're important because games are won through your preparation, through training camp, through preseason, through practice, this constant schedule. Games are absolutely, or I would say the good habits are formed there. So, yes, I do want to see certain things, but because I got disillusioned very early with the, not even the performative, but the extra, the non-game matters, I didn't put too much stock into it. I don't put too much stock into it now.
Yeah, I don't put too much stock into it either, but it's kind of like what you said. Like, I have a list of stuff I want to see. And one of the first things I told you, and I tweeted this, was the first OTA. It was 2.5 hours. Like, how many practices were we at in training camp last year where literally everybody in media was like, that's it? And it was an hour and a half or something like that. It was two hours. So the fact that they were implementing stuff and – he treats everybody the same, at least from what I've seen early. Like, I've seen him yell at Caleb. I've seen him yell at Cole Kmet. Like, it's been an equal opportunity thing. It really feels like they have a game plan. And when Ben Johnson said that we're going to build this offense around Caleb instead of forcing him to do the offense that I've been running, now, obviously, he's going to be running a lot of elements from that offense. But they're tailing around Caleb's strengths, which is something that Bears fans have been asking since Caleb got there. Don't force an offense on him. Build an offense around him. Alex, that's what we've been screaming for even with Justin Fields. Like, you know, I feel like remember Justin Fields rookie year, Matt Nagy was trying to force a type of offense that didn't, help Justin's game. And right. So that's something that we've seen here. And it's just from a, okay, it feels like you actually have experienced people type thing here, is that they'll do this thing where it'll be 11 on 11s and Al Harris is in the backfield behind the secondary. He's taking notes. Ben Johnson is on a walkie-talkie the whole time. You know, Eric Bieniemy, he's been in running backs, bro. Like, he's been on them. And it was just good to see Richard Hightower there, too, because it obviously there's something for Richard Hightower that the Ben Johnson liked that he wanted to keep around. Because very rarely do you see old staff keep a job, man. So that's why I just thought from this. I thought the vibe was good. The players kept talking about accountability and saying that, you know, we were being hard coached, which was good. Obviously, early doesn't really matter until we see it. But let's talk about camp. What's some things that you're going to be looking for while you're at camp that you want to see from Ben Johnson from the team?
It's kind of like what I said earlier. I do want to see him be vocal. I want to see him have a specific plan for when the offense is struggling to a 2-minute drill. They're not moving past. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to run? Are you going to step aside and allow them to – I mean, you going to step aside and then try to formulate a plan that helps them succeed in what they're doing? If you have a situation where we give them four downs, obviously, they're moving in nothing. Do you then re-up and try again? Do you break down and then try to focus on some smaller fundamentals? Do you pull them aside and say, hey, what's going on with ABC? I want to see how Ben Johnson reacts when things are trending in a negative way. That's the biggest thing. How do you deal with that? What happens when Caleb struggles? How do you form good habits? So if I'm seeing a bad habit, if I'm seeing, I don't know, someone is taking off a few plays here, what's his response there? But the truth is, the hard truth is that you won't truly know until we get into the games. And so all I want to see right now is good habits. I would like to see, you know, defense. It's funny because when you have a young quarterback and you want to see them excel, you're going to go into training camp with the focus that, oh, we need to see them win. But you also do want to see the defense win as well. So I would like to see some challenging by both sides. I want to see the offense as amped as the defense. The defense motivates itself. It always has been that way. And so I want to see a balance between those two things. Yo, you're muted, my friend.
I had myself on mute. I'm not going to hold you. I gave myself a fine button. But what I wanted, I'm with you. Like, I want to see, more than anything, I want to see something where I felt like we watched an actual practice. Like, there was too many times in camp these last couple years, and I'm just going off even fools because I've never been to a Nagy camp. It just felt like they were scrimmages. Now, granted, I know this is the new era of the NFL. They're not doing two-a-days. There's certain rules that you can't do in today's game of football. I understand that. But I just want to see a lot more aggression, more intensity. I want to feel like we walked out of there like, okay, that was high pressure for a practice. Well, you're really getting ready for the regular season, because I don't know what Ben Johnson's preseason philosophy is yet. We don't know. We don't know if he takes these things seriously and he's going to be playing guys in there, or is he like Matt Nagy or a lot of coaches in today's NFL who don't really care about the preseason and they use the first month of the season to really be their preseason. So that's what I want to see. I don't, like I said, we want the defense to be good, obviously. I don't think it's a bad thing that you hear the defense won the day. I don't want to hear as many as we've heard these last 3 years in camp. We had too many of them last year. We gave it a pass because Caleb was a rookie. We had too many of them, Justin's 3 years here. I want to hear more days, well, man, the offense looked good today. Or, oh, it was a battle. Both sides really just held their own. That's what I want to see. And I want to see an actual, not game plan, but I guess like plan of attack for the season being put together. And I don't know if you noticed the last couple off seasons, last couple of camps, they were doing a lot of, you know, low yardage type of passes. And not that I want you to go deep every attempt in training camp, But I definitely want to see some more deep shots. And I know with Ben Johnson's offense, it's going to be a lot of kick it off to the running back, screen over to the wide receiver, and things like that. But I just want to see it look like, okay, this is an actual NFL offense that we're slowly getting seen put together. And I also want to see clarity on positions, because he said nobody in the depth chart has their jobs left. Obviously, he means besides Caleb. Like, it's not like a quarterback battle here. But I want to see him, you know, if DJ's bullshitting, hold DJ accountable. Like, okay, DJ, like, look, you got Luther Burden here. You got Roma Dunze here. You can't do that. And I think there was also some talk about that in OTAs and stuff where he said, DJ said him and Ben had a conversation about body language. Because Ben Johnson said that was something that he had to work on, because I think it was Adam Hogue asked him, oh, you were fiery today. You were yelling at Cole. He's all you can tell. Like, he doesn't even know he's that kind of dude. And he said they both need to work on it. So that's what I want to see from this as well. And also, no 8 captains. We had way too many captains last year. We don't need 8 captains, bro. Yeah, everybody is C. I want to see an actual plan of these are the locker room leaders going forward. That's what I'm trying to look at.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Obviously, neither of us have been, you know, D1 or NFL players, but only thing I can compare it to is high school. And we had 4 captains. A lineman, a quarterback, a defensive player, and a tight end. I was the lineman. We had a quarterback, Antonio, my best friend, was the other one. And then Tony McKinley, who's a defensive player, was ours. I don't know the selection committee for how they did it, but 4 seemed enough. 8 is like, all right, this is a lot, you know. But, I mean, when it comes to all of these things of practice, I mean, the hardest thing we're dealing with right now is I've seen a mix of good habits, good practices within the 3 coaches I've covered, and it didn't mean anything, which is the sucky part, is because football is not a science. You know, you can't replicate something and get the same results. It's the unfortunate truth. So then the question becomes, what do we do? How should we evaluate it? And my thing is keep it simple. That's all. Keep it simple. You want to hear solid relationships. I want to see the coach talking to players. I want to see them interacting. I want to see some jovialness. People might think, oh, that's not important. You can be upset and still move. Sure. But I've seen enough of a coach who is, for Nagy, for instance. Nagy had a lot of people in the locker room that liked him. You know, sure, towards the end, it did break down. But Nagy had a lot of people that did like him. And he had a lot of ways to bring that locker room together. Club Dub, which I still didn't mind at all, was a fun thing to watch.
I personally love Club Dub. Of course, it got bad when we started losing. But right. Club Dub was something. Everybody liked Club Dub video. It was something to look forward to.
Right. And, I mean, you even had national news covering it. All the Bears clinched the division. Hear them in Club Dub going crazy. Yeah, it's fun to see. It is absolutely fun to see. And then I've seen coaches who were not as connected, something like an Eberflus, where it's like, okay. And my response would be, well, he's just not nagging. So it's like there's no formula to get it right. And so the only thing that I can think of in this particular moment is how do the results look? Is the offensive line is rebuilt. You have 3 deadly wide receivers, a good tight end, and then a young potential stud in tight end. Running game, probably the only pure question out of it, but you have talent everywhere. What is the offense going to do? Same with the defense. Defense, you already had the linebacker core. You never had to worry about the defensive backfield. It's fine, too. You got Grady Jarrett to help with the interior. So what's going to happen now? And so I want to see some balance. I want to see the offense get the defense. I want to see the defense get the offense. But it shouldn't be, offense didn't have a great day today. The offense didn't have a great day today. Oh, they had a good, like, I want to see it. This was a competitive practice. Both teams played hard.
Well, I think to piggyback what you were saying about the Club Dub thing, everything's different when you're winning. Like, you just look through the history of sports. You look at, like, with the Eagles, you tolerate Nick Sirianni's stupid-ass press conferences when they're winning. You know what I'm saying? You tolerate Jalen Hurts talking in Instagram captions when they win. When you saw them go on the losing streak, what's the first thing the Eagles fans say? Jalen better not get up that bullshit. Right? You know what I'm saying? Let's go baseball. Remember Manning being Manny? Manning being Manny was good when they were winning World Series. Like, anything else that don't. So I definitely think, I do think there's going to be more fun in the locker room if there's winning, because Ben Johnson just has more of a personality than Eberflus. Like, Eberflus was like, you know, if you make a coach, if they had, like, coach create a player, he had, like, all the corny sayings and the acronyms and, you know, not to say that he doesn't have personality, but he never showed it to us. The most personality he had was that stupid haircut. Like, and then, like, oh, I don't know. Team might be better. He got lined up. Like, I just think naturally that Ben Johnson's a dude that you would just go have a beer with. And I think when Matt Nagy was winning, those are the things that we loved about Matt Nagy, because he is he's a cool person. When I interviewed him at the Super Bowl, he was cool. He gave me a full interview, not like a 1 minute get out of my face. He gave me a full interview. And I'm like, you know what? He wasn't one of the best coaches, but Matt Nagy cooled me. I would go have a beer and, you know, have a meal with Matt Nagy. Ben Johnson's the same thing. I don't care if Matt Eberflus, if we went 14-3 last year, whatever the record, he just don't got a personality. Like, you're not finna go kick it with Blues afterwards. So I do think winning does, you know, change things. But I really think you're right, and that's why we're doing these offseason pods. Like, we don't really know what to evaluate now, because there's nothing to really evaluate. But I want to talk about Ben Johnson's, you know, statistics and things that we've seen from him already. Talking about, like, what expectations that we should have for this year. So I'm going to go over the offensive rankings for Ben Johnson since he took over as offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. He took over 2022. The Lions were fifth in scoring and fourth in total offense. In 2023, they were fifth in scoring again, this time third in total offense. So one-tier jump right there. And then last year, they were first in scoring in the league and with 33.2 points per game, and they were second in total offense, which is their high. Now, let's talk about what the Bears did offensively last year. The Bears, 32nd in the league. So, for those of you at home who don't know, last in the league in total yards per game, which was 283.5 yards per game. They were 29th in points per game. This team averaged 18 points per game. That is ridiculous. And then they were 31st in third down conversion. The rushing offense was ranked 25th in the league, averaging 102 yards per game. And this is the shocking stat, right? Surprisingly, the Bears were top 10 in red zone completion scoring percentage, was at 6. So that's a good thing you can build off right there for them. Now, you got to understand that obviously Ben Johnson wasn't the head coach. Even as better as this offensive line looks on paper, this is not the hogs they got in Detroit. You know what right. I'm saying? There's a lot of offensive weapons here that still have question marks. DJ and DeAndre Swift are probably the only, and Cole Kmet to an extent, the only weapons that we know we're going to get week in and week out for the most part.
Right.
Roma Dunze is still a question. Luther Burton is a rookie. He's a question. Coastal Love him. He's a question. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we can't really put the same expectations that you have in Detroit. But just going off of this, I mean, the bar is in hell. So, like, even if, like, you're ranked 32 in the last in the league in total yards, and the bottom three of points per game, well, actually second worst in points per game, there's nowhere to go but up. For me personally, I probably need to see, for me to feel good, I need to see at least an 8-point jump on that points per game. I don't want to be crazy and say 30 points per game, 28 will be awesome. I think 26 is a fair number, just knowing what we know now about the current crew that this team is built, the current weapons that this team is built. I think that's a fair number for assessment to say. And we do know he's going to be calling all the plays because he's the head coach calling plays. But that to me is a fair expectation, just stat-wise, what I want to see for this offense.
26 points a game?
Yeah.
That's a very, very high number.
That's a touchdown difference.
26 points a game would make them seventh in the league last year.
Okay. To me, that you got to make a jump.
That is an astronomical jump. Okay, that is 21 positions up. What's a realistic position for me is 22 points a game, a four-point jump. Last year, they were 18.2. The current highest 22 number was San Fran at 22.9. That puts them 14th. That's the jump I can deal with.
How much did the Eagles average last year?
What'd you say?
Where were the Eagles at last year? Obviously, I'm not comparing those to the champions. But where were
29.
They were 29. Okay.
29. Yeah, I mean, that's a big jump to go from 18 to...
I wanted to say 28. I calmed myself down.
28 would make them Washington, which is sixth. And then there's 29, 29, 30, 30, 33. Detroit was 33. So it's not to say that I think it is impossible. The only issue I have with that is that that's such a large jump for a team to make in the first year of offense. Reasonably 22-23 is the jump I want to say. Like, yes, it's only a touchdown difference, but it's not like they're starting the game with 18 points and then going from there. You know what I mean? So coming in, because again, I mean, how often does a team score 18 points? Doesn't happen often. It's just
do me a favor. Name the top 12 offenses from last year if you have it up.
Yeah, Detroit. Detroit was number one with 33.1. Buffalo was 30.6. Ravens were 30.1. Tampa Bay was 29 flat. Philadelphia was 29 flat. Washington was 28.8. Cincinnati was 27.8. Green Bay was 26.1. Minnesota was 24.5. Denver was 24 flat. Arizona was 23.5. Kansas City was 23.1. Chargers were 23.0.
Okay, now what you're saying makes sense. I don't know why I thought 23-24 is only a 5-point jump is super low. I didn't know that the Chiefs only averaged 23 points per game. I didn't know that who's averaged 24? That was playoff team. Minnesota. Yeah, I thought it feels like Minnesota averaged way more than 24 points. Right. So I take that back. 23-24, I think, is better. Because when I was really thinking about it, I'm thinking 25-26 is middle of the road.
No. Okay. That's an insanely high number.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about what your expectations, not just even numbers-wise, that you think is reasonable to expect from a Ben Johnson offense in year one.
Well, one, it would be the points per game. It would have to be a step up from 18.2, simply because 18.2 is you're not going to win. Unless you had the greatest defense of all time that could also handle the modern NFL offense, there's no way you can win with 18.2. In addition to that, I have to see a jump in the running game. Last year's running game was just not going to cut it. You're going to have to get 1,000 yards out of DeAndre Swift. He was 959, which is fine. Which I'm going to need 1,000-yard running back and 1,000-yard receiver. Last year, DJ Moore was the close with 966 on 98 receptions. So I need to see some more depth. You had about 9 yards a carry. 9 yards a catch. I need to see around 11 yards a catch. And now that it's, your lineup is DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, Cole Kmet, and then Loveland at tight end. I need to see the ball. The ball was spread around fine. 700 of your top three receivers. But I'm going to need to – I think you will see Cole Kmet jumping or Loveland jumping from 400 to about 600 yards. I think reasonably you could probably get 1,000 yards out of DJ, maybe 900 out of Rome, if not 1,000 himself. And so we'll say 1,300 out of DJ, 900 out of Rome, 600 out of Luther Burden. That's a realistic facet of the game for me. And then DeAndre Swift, in addition to getting 1,000 yards, his run per carry average has to go up. It can't be so dismal as it was last year when he was averaging 3.8. The league, not the league average, but the best average to know that you're doing something is 4 yards a carry. Outside of that, I didn't even have a problem with DeAndre Swift. 400 yards receiving, 900 yards rushing.
Now, DeAndre Swift problem was the offensive line.
Right. So I think you, I mean, it's just, I'm making a, this is either abductive or inductive logic, what I'm going for the best possible answer. 959 yards, 3.8 with a bad offensive line. Much improved offensive line can bump those numbers up, at least to maybe 1,050. You know what I mean? On top of that, you have a coach who loves to run the ball. And so, in addition to that, we've got to move on to Caleb Williams. I thought Caleb Williams had a very good rookie season. There was points where I think he should have put the ball at risk more. And so for him, you're coming off of a 62% completion rating, 3,500 yards passing, 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 500-something attempts for last year. I'm going to need to see that bump up to 3,800. And I think that's just fair. I don't think that's like too much.
562 attempts. He completed 351 of them. His completion percentage was 62.5.
Yeah. I just said that, my friend.
Okay. Did you say the QBR? Because the QBR was terrible.
What was the QBR?
46.7. 28.8.
Right. That is going to have to far increase. With the attempts, 500 is actually a pretty solid number. I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson has around like 460 or something. So keep that at the 500, but you need to take advantage more with every single yard. I mean, Lamar Jackson was like freaking 8 yards a pass, where Caleb Williams is 6 yards a pass. I'm going to need to see that bump up. He had about 200 yards a game. I'm going to need to see around 230 yards a game. His rating last year was what, like 80-something? 87?
It's 87.8.
I'm going to need to see 96. Bear in mind, again, if I'm comparing him to somebody like Lamar Jackson, Lamar was 119. I doubt he gets to that. That's a very high jump. His QBR was 77. I'm going to need to see that jump. And so if I'm breaking it down, then, of course, you know what? What I don't do enough of is I don't talk about the defensive side of the ball. And what I need from the defensive side of the ball is I'm going to need someone to be a much larger sack leader than they are right now. Last year, Montez had 5.5 sacks. Javon Dexter had 5 sacks. I'm going to need to see Montez get 8. Javon Dexter, I don't know if he'll get as much playing time with Grady Jarrett coming back, but I'm sure Javon Dexter will have.
Grady's not a 3-tech, though. I think Javon's going to play 3-tech. I don't think Grady is 3-tech.
Remember, oh, that's right. I keep forgetting. Yeah. Oh, wait, yeah. What about Billings?
Billings is the no, because Gervon was 3-tech last year. He's playing with Billings,
right? But remember, we're moving. Grady Jarrett is absolutely going to be the starter now.
Grady Jarrett, that's interesting. I want to see how they're gonna do that. Go ahead, my bad.
My best guess is if they do keep Javon Dexter, then we'll probably have Grady Jarrett and Javon Dexter. Andrew Billings is back up. Fine. And then Montez Sweat. And then who's the other dude? Adebayo Bingo?
Ayo Adebingo.
I'm looking. Please forgive
Ayo me. Adebingo.
Adeyingbo.
Adeyingbo. We fucking his name all the way. Apologies on our end.
So yeah. So I'm going to need to see that. So if we're looking at the 3-tech position, we're looking at Andrew Billings lining up on the outside shoulder of the guard. Andrew Billings, I'm sorry, Javon Dexter. You're looking at Grady Jarrett. I'm going to need to see that unit as a whole, 10 sacks. Seems extreme. But if Javon Dexter can get me 5 sacks last year, and most of Javon Dexter's sacks came like in a burst, 2 here, none for a while, 2 again, then a half, then a half. I'm going to need to see 10 from them. That has to be the bare minimum.
Like 10 from the entire line?
Or you talking about 10 from each? The interior.
Right. I was about to come from the interior alone. I think that's very doable.
Yeah, I mean, Grady Jarrett's highest is like 7 sacks. before this season. He's averaging, it looks like, around 5 sacks a season. And now, again, I'm not sure about Javon Dexter, Steve's favorite player. I'm not sure what he will do. Sometimes I think while he did the good things, like he was able to get himself in shape, get a little more explosion, sometimes his technique standing up is a little too
I mean, you got 11 sacks between Montez and Dirk Gervon last year.
Right. But what was – we're looking at the interior. What was the interior's stats? You might want to look that up. But, yeah. And, of course, please forgive me. They're running a 4-3. And if you're – is that – that's correct, right, Fat Man?
Yeah.
They're running a 4-3.
I'm trying to look up the interior sacks.
I mean, my best guess is you just have to look up Andrew Billings and Javon Dexter. You know, Javon Dexter had 5.5.
Okay, here you go. So the Bears' defensive tackles contributed. So Dexter had 3.9 sacks while being a defensive, you know, in the interior. Billings had 1.9. Montez Sweat had 5.5. So, yeah, that's not 10.
Javon Dexter had 5 sacks last year.
No, I know, but they saying when he was playing,
I don't care about that. I'm talking about
them. All right, just in total.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then Dexter had 5.
Yeah. So yeah, again, this is depending on.
It don't even feel like they had 40 sacks last year.
Right. No. It doesn't feel like that at all. But so yeah. I'm going to need to see 5 from him. That makes sense. Montez Sweat is the wild card in this situation because he had 6, 7? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I literally just said it.
Yeah, 5.5. Yeah, 5.5 sacks.
What is a good number for you with him?
8. I need at least 8 out of 10.
I don't remember what I just said. I think I said 8-2.
Yeah, I need at least 8 out of it. Because his first year with us, he had 6 in the second half. So his he had 12 total in 2023. 6 with Washington and 6 with us. And that's just off, I think it was like, I don't know how many games, probably like 8 games with us. So I want to say 10, but anybody don't get double-digit sacks every year. So I'm going to say 8. But I have to see a lot more of him. This year is going to tell me a lot about Tez. Is Tez just a cool defensive end?
Right.
Or is last year he was hurt and he was just surrounded by bums? That's what I really – I want that question answered this year from Montez Sweat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I'm still concerned with what they're going to do with Billings. That's high to me. Billings was a 1 tech. And so what's the goal? What's the goal with him? Is it a 1 tech and a 3? And then, of course, you have – funny thing is I don't even remember what tackles who are shaded outside of the
– Well, you know, you got to take –
I'm just ends who are shaded outside of the tackle are.
Well, you know, DeMarcus Walker has been replaced by Gray Jerry. You got to take DeMarcus Walker out of it. Let's see who else is on that line last year. I don't know, but it's the same. Like Gervon and him were on that line. They're in the same positions.
Right. But, I mean, I have to look at a depth chart. If they, you know, what's the projected depth chart?
We won't know that till later because Ben Johnson
has been suspended 10 games.
Yeah, I saw that.
How about being suspended for the rest of his career? Anyway.
He's not getting picked up. But nobody's picking him up. He was already missing shit last year. Now you got a 10-game suspension attached to you. He's not kicking again.
That's true. So anyway, I was very, very long-winded. That is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting Grady Jarrett, Javon Dexter. If they're effective, they need to give me 10 sacks. Now, if we're looking at Montez, you know what? I need 10 from him.
That's what I wanted to say.
I'm going to go a bit further than the 8 that I think I even said, too. Because Javon Dexter can absolutely give you 10 sacks a game. He has the great frame to be that. He had, what I want to say, 12 total the first year. It wasn't obviously all with the Bears, but he had
12 total. He had 6 with Washington, 6 with us.
Right, 12 total that year he came. He was probably averaging around 8 a season with a better defensive line. Now, of course, he comes in, teams, and he kind of, I don't know if he even knew how to attack the playbook or how to attack having been on the defense for a full.
So this is his count since he got drafted in 2019.
Oh, no, I know. I got it up above. Oh, you got 7, it? Okay. 9, 5, 8, 6 and a half, 6, 12 and a half, 5 and a half. So if I'm looking at all of this, I'm going to need.
I'm with you. I need 10.
I need
10. If he's sacks. Healthy, I need 10.
I need 10 sacks a game. So
like last year, he only missed one game. Wasn't right. only? No, he played 15. He missed 3 games.
Now, outside of that, if I'm looking just at the Bears, you know, I mean, I'm looking at the linebacking core, receivers, I mean, in the defensive backfield, linebacking core, I just need 100 plus tackles from both of your top linebackers on the Bears. Defense, I'm going to need to see more picks, though I don't think the Bears were awful in interceptions. I'm going to need to see that stat bump up. Jalen Johnson had like what? I think it was a lot of niggas with like 2 picks last year.
Yeah. Jalen had his best interception total last year.
I'm going to need to see that jump. It was 2.
His best interception was 2023.
Right. Yeah. Tyreek had 2. Jalen had 2. Josh Blackwell had 1.
Talk about Tyreek Stevenson real quick. I want to talk about Tyreek Stevenson. Because they had so he talked to the media. I don't know. I think it was doing mandatory camp. And I think it was Pat Finley. Pat Finley asked, like, are you ready to put last season behind you and just move on? And he answered the question very well. And you know how some of the fan base is. They're like, that's a stupid-ass question. Like, Chicago media are terrible. Oh, and just leave. I'm like, that's an actual good question to ask. Like,
right.
Like after that, he was the laughingstock. He got put in the Chargers, schedule release video because that terrible play in Watson. That's a good play. But my question is, are you out on Tyreek Stevenson? I'm personally not out on him. He's got too much talent. And I do think this is going to be a make or break year from the stupid stuff. He got to get knocked out. And I do believe Al Harris is going to play a great part in him stopping doing it.
Yeah, this is absolutely a make or break year for him. He has to be willing to transform the player that he was. Be more, your awareness has to go up like a motherfucker. You can't be on the field doing what you're doing. Play-wise, well, I think he has good techniques when it comes to hunting for the ball. He has to do better with his one-on-one coverage. I don't think he's bad if he gives up outside leverage, but once he gives up inside, he's just getting cooked. So he has to pick up the pace, something crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I think that the secondary is the Bears' strength. That's the biggest strength of their defense. So I think a lot of that's going to we're going to see. We'll only know how good is determined on how much pressure that right. this defense can accumulate. Linebackers, I think they're good. I need to see more of Jermaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is I need to see, but I need to see
he's more. Always he's an interesting, solid linebacker. He's not a star.
What am I saying? Because TJ Edwards is the one who got the extension this offseason.
Right. TJ Edwards was getting you like 130 tackles a season. Yeah. He'll get you about 4 sacks, maybe get you a couple pass deflects and interception. Jermaine Edwards gets you about 100, a sack, maybe a pick. Like, I need to see the tackles go. I need to see him do well against tight ends as well. So, yeah.
Just a couple more questions, then we'll wrap this episode up. By the way, episode 2, we're going to be breaking down the NFC North, which is going to be a good one. Couple questions. But I was going to get my Caleb Williams pin out, because I forgot to say that. With the numbers thing, I think there's really 3 things I really want to see from Caleb. I'm not worried about touchdown count. I'm not worried about interception count, because he, for his entire career, has never been a high turnover guy. So that's not a part of his game that I'm worried about. My number one concern is getting the ball out on time. He, from what I saw in offseason training, OTA as many can, he's still having a little problem with that. So that's the number one thing I want to see. Number 2, deep ball accuracy. How many times did we see him? Oh, man, that he could have hit him. He was wide open. He's got to hit more on them home run shots. Because I believe he's going to have a lot more opportunity for the home run shots. Like, Jared Goff threw a lot of deep balls, and he executed on them. DJ Moore is going to get open. I believe Rome's going to get open. I believe Luther is going to get open. You got to hit those plays. So that's my number two thing I want to see from him. Number three thing, which I think isn't a him problem, is from the coaching, is what you just said. I want to see more risks.
Right.
Like let's take more chances. Right. No more conservative BS that we've been seeing for the last I don't know how many years. And then my final thing I want to see from Caleb Williams: use your feet, brother. Like, I feel like he's scared to run sometimes.
Right.
Use, if there's nothing open, use your feet. He ain't like Justin Fields' speed, but the nigga ain't slow.
Right.
And when we saw it last year when he needed to, because the offensive line was terrible. Right. So he's going to have more time to throw the ball. So I'm not expecting that many running options, but if it does collapse or the play's not open, run. Get the first down. So that's why I want to see more than numbers. I'm not really worried about the numbers. The numbers are going to be there. I just think off better plays, the numbers are going to be there. Because if we're just going off just the old school yards, touchdowns, interceptions, if you take away all the nuance from that conversation, these are great numbers for a rookie. If right. we're just going off them three, those are, the numbers are going to be there. I need them to pass the eye test more. So final thing, I'm going to put it together in one, and we're going to wrap this episode up. You said earlier that you know Ben Johnson likes to run the ball more. I think we kind of got an idea that DeAndre Swift is probably going to be more in the Jahmyr Gibbs role with the passing and catching. Do you have faith in Roshan to be the demo, you know, bruiser type back? Like, we talking about make or break years. This is a make or break year for Roshan.
Yeah, I'm also not it's no disrespect to Roshan, but you can always find another running back like him. You know, it's not like you're looking. It's not like he's just like the key to this offense. So definitely is a chance for him to prove himself, probably for a different team, but the focus is going to be on DeAndre Swift more than anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I definitely think that's – I think it's going to be a lot – I think it's going to be a lot better than we expect, but I don't have high expectations for Roshan Johnson. And also, with the closed out with tight end. What do you think about the Colston Loveland Cole Kmet thing? Because Cole Kmet did say he was shocked when they drafted tight end, but he said that he appreciated that Ben Johnson called him right before the draft and told him, yo, we taking a tight end. I've said all year, even before they drafted Colston Loveland, that I felt like if there was anybody from this offense who would be gone either by trade deadline or by next year, I thought it was Cole Kmet, and I still feel that way. But that's also based on how good Colston Loveland does, because I think that Cole Kmet is a good tight end. I don't think he's a game-changing tight end. He's not a playmaker, but he can be a lot better than what he has been. What are you expecting for the tight end room?
I'm hoping that Colston Loveland provides a sort of spark to Cole Kmet to maybe improve his game, to try to work on some things during this offseason to really drive his game forward. That being said, I'm expecting Colston Loveland to really have a very good rookie season. 600 yards, maybe 5 touchdowns. I think his talent, his size, his athleticism is better than Cole Kmet's. And he can also catch as well as Cole Kmet. And so I'm expecting that to really propel him. And to be honest, I'm expecting Colston Loveland, as the season goes on, to become a primary target from Caleb Williams, to the point that Cole Kmet starts to get overshadowed by him.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. So this is episode one of our 79th and Hallis offseason podcast series. It's a four-part series. Part two will be dropping next week. That will be the NFC North breakdown. We're going to talk about the rivals in the North, how they stack up this year, and what the Bears need to do to be much better than what they've been in this era. So it's your boy Scott and Flows. You know, to follow us at Bar Chair Scott, at Flows and Alini, at 79th and Hallis. We up out of here, man.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 79th and Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.